Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and thank you for joining me for the broadcast today. Well, with the Lord's help, I would like to conclude some thoughts I've been sharing these last several days in terms of what our life should be like, what our Christian experience should be. And I opened with that scripture, the words of Jesus, "If you hold to my teaching, then you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That's John 8:31. And I believe our Christian walk is if we will continue in His teaching, we will understand more and more the will of God, the character of God, and we will be changed from glory to glory into that very same image that we see in the mirror of God's Word. But as I brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, we were talking about the religion of this age. I don't know if you have noticed or aware of it, but beloved, there is a New Age humanism that basically pervades the world's mentality. The deification of man, that we are basically evolving into a higher and higher intelligence, efficiency, that all things are possible through us, that we can, if we can have it, we can do it. There's been tremendous strides, of course, in medicine and in technology. They're talking, I've seen, you know, the average lifespan is going to be 120 years. They're actually working on ways to make humanity better. Now, the unfortunate thing, while all these strides are being made in technology and science and medicine, the heart of man seems to be getting incredibly and increasingly corrupt. If we have any doubt on that, just listen to the news, the perverseness of where our world is going. In fact, I've seen some clips of recent movies in terms of the trailers. Unbelievable. People, humans, are doing extraordinary things. They're flying through the air. The Superman concept, the person, or I get, I've never watched, but those Harry Potter series where even children, they have psychic abilities. They're all special. They're all superhuman. And I think you understand what I'm trying to say. There's just the desire to be more than what we are. And as I began sharing these thoughts, you know, I said, what comes to mind when you think of ordinary? Well, that's not a very exciting thought, is it? Ordinary actually conveys a sense of deficient in quality, rank or ability, poor or inferior, referring to the common people, characterized by a lack of privilege or special status. It means common quality, rank or ability. Just being what is generally met with and not in any way special, strange, or unusual. Well, who wants to be ordinary? We don't aspire to be ordinary, but in fact, in factual analysis, when we look at the multitudes of people on this earth, there are very few that are extraordinary in terms of mental or artistic capacity. There are some, but most people are just what we call ordinary people. And why do you suppose that is? Do you suppose God might like ordinary people? Well, let me give you a hint. A scripture found in Revelation 4:11. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." So, do you suppose God likes ordinary people? I think what we call ordinary must be viewed differently by God, or what the world calls ordinary, God doesn't. Isaiah 55 and 9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And you know, unfortunately, we see the worldly mentality creeping into the church. Oh, there are some wonderful ministries that lift up Jesus and that really are showing, are preaching the word so souls can be saved and the saints can be perfected by the ministry of teaching and exhortation and the moving of the Spirit. Praise God for those. But there are other ministries that can be, if they're not careful, influenced by the mentality and the perspective of the world. For example, bigger has to be better. You know, the evangelist who, in our own thinking, you know, has gone to the nations of the world and has seen a multitude of souls saved, what they're doing is so much more important, so much more significant than perhaps a bedridden saint who all they can do in terms of a ministry is be an intercessor prayer warrior. I think only eternity is going to reveal what matters, who matters. I think what really matters is, are we being obedient to what God has called us to be? And I believe the rewards will be given according to our obedience. So you see, in the world, we say, oh, praise God, the evangelist or those that are doing a tremendous work for God, God must love them more. They're going to have so many great rewards in heaven. But I believe, if I understand correctly from the scripture, well done, thou good and faithful servant, it's being obedient to what God has called us to, no matter what our station in life. And you know, another thing, it's really sad, the sense of competition sometimes there are in ministries that, and I'm sorry, I'm going to be really blunt, but they appeal to the listening audience, they appeal to raise finances by listing their achievements. This is how many people they have reached. This is how many outreaches they have. We're actually worthy because we're doing so much better. We're worthy of your contributions. We're worthy of your offerings. We're doing so much for God. But beloved, it's really a matter of how does God look at things? I think we need to listen with new ears. You know, in fact, I remember just, I'm on a few mailing lists, and I received a magazine from an international minister, evangelist, and while he had some really good things to say, he actually said that he really believed he was the only person working in the realm of the miraculous in the world, that no one was exceeding what he was doing in terms of seeing miracles occur. And I was kind of taken aback. I thought, oh my. And so, beloved, we have to understand it's our faithfulness and not the things that we can show in terms of worldly things that we can measure and analyze and count. Because God does look at things differently. And going back to ordinary people, the average person, let me share this scripture, which is pivotal in our understanding of what I'm trying to share, and that is 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 27, a familiar passage. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised by the world system, hath God chosen to bring to naught things that are. He's taken the despised things, the base things, the weak things, the foolish things, the ordinary things, to bring to naught, to nothing, the things that are. What? The things of this world system. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. Beloved, if you're being used of God, I tell you right now in the name of the Lord, that anointing, those gifts, they are of God. They're not of you. They're not a means to which you are to get puffed up, because knowledge puffs up, pride puffs up, but we are to walk in humility before the Lord. Beloved, I believe a key is found in a scripture found in Philippians, the third chapter, verse 10. This was Paul's desire, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And beloved, I believe that is the highest calling, that we can die to self. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And if Christ lives in us, beloved, the things of this world, the acclaim, even the recognition we would get from peers, from fellow Christians, from other ministries, they don't matter. The things we do, it's Christ who is exalted, Christ who is glorified when we will die to self, when we don't seek our own advancement. Just the Pharisees did. They wanted to be known for their long prayers and to have the highest seats in the synagogue. Beloved, in God's world, he said, unless you become like a little child, you'll no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. They have no pretense. Children have no pretense, or animals. They're just who they are. There's no ulterior motives. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Beloved, I've been on this broadcast. I've shared this message because God wants to deliver you from deception, and he wants to affirm your uniqueness. It's not exceptionalism. It's not being extraordinary. It's not being standing out and being so marvelous in terms of giftings or talents, but it's being unique in who God made you. I affirm that in you in Jesus' name, and don't let the enemy steal that from you. Father, I come against the work of the enemy to make people feel insignificant. You're beloved, to make them feel they're nothing special, there's nothing extraordinary about them, but you have chosen them, Lord, to confound and bring to naught the things of this world. You have placed your spirit in them. You have placed uniqueness, something which no one else can replicate, and they have a calling and a ministry that nobody else can duplicate. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I release them into the very freedom of who they are in Christ. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Well, I feel God's anointing. He's been really speaking to hearts. Listen, if you've been blessed by the broadcast, I invite you to write. If you've been blessed by the broadcast, there's a ministry of correspondence. And guess what? I don't bring the subject up of finances. I just want to bless and encourage you. I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.